Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Isaiah chapter 2. I'm going to read one verse of scripture there. Verse 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. I want you to listen to these words very carefully. And it shall come to pass in the last days, listen to this, that the mountain of the Lord's house, shall be established in the top of the mountains, plural, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Now turn to Matthew chapter 17. We're just going to read two scriptures there. Matthew chapter 17. The prophet Isaiah spoke of these mountains, so did Jesus. Matthew chapter 17, starting at verse 19. Then came, now listen to this very carefully, because you're going to get a whole new perspective about these mountains, folks. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why could we not cast him out? This was Jesus' response. And Jesus said unto them, plain and simple, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, listen, ye shall say to this what? Mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I want to preach on the thought this morning, mountain warfare. Mountain warfare. Jesus, as well as the prophet Isaiah, we're not talking about a pile of dirt, folks. I challenge anybody to walk up to any mountain in the earth today, or any hill of Kentucky today, and try to have a conversation with it. Hello? You can talk all day long to that mountain, and it's not going to answer you. That's not what's being spoken of here. I want you to understand plainly what the subject matter is here, especially in Matthew. I want to read it again, and I want you to listen very carefully. Don't think of this word mountain as a hill or as a pile of dirt. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence, in other words, go, like he said, to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So what are we talking about? We're talking about mountain warfare. What is mountain warfare? As Jesus already said here in 17:20, to this mountain he called him, he said, him. The disciples said, why could we not cast him out? Jesus is following along with that same subject matter here. And he's speaking of dark forces. And we're going to get to that here in just a little bit. But I want you to notice again his words. Ye shall say unto this mountain, as I said before, not some hillside, but a fortress, a stronghold. Hello? Is anybody paying attention? We're talking about strongholds. You know, there are Christians who have strongholds. Man, it got quiet on that one, Brother Jeff. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm giving you what the Word of God says. There are strongholds that need to be broken in people's lives. I believe it was James that said, don't let any man think that he's going to receive anything from God if he's double-minded. Because a double-minded man, you know, he's trying to go in two different directions. We cannot eat at the table of Jesus Christ and at the same time eat at the table of devils and, Brother Jeff, expect to have this kind of power. You've heard us talk a lot about the seven sons of Sceva. We've talked about that a lot here in this church. And it's just another prime example, and you can compare that to today's modern Catholic church. These priests will go in, and it'll take them months and months of incantations and chanting and all this kind of mumbo-jumbo, rubbing their beads, whatever they do. But you take a Pentecostal, Holy Ghost-filled minister of God that knows who he is in Christ, and it's just a matter of seconds. There's your difference. And the seven sons of Sceva were a lot like the present-day Catholic Church. They thought they could just throw the name of Jesus out there and it was some kind of conjuring or some kind of anecdote, if you will, that would just take care of the problem. They found out the hard way. Those of you that know your Bible, they got beat up pretty good. You can't play around with the devil. Why? Because the devil has power. In fact, let me give you something that maybe you don't know, a little tidbit of information. But the dark side is more in tune with the spiritual than we are. Now, you can get mad at me if you want to, but I'm speaking the truth. I know what I'm talking about. I've done the study, many, many, many hours of study on the occult. These people, every day, not just once a week, every day spend a minimum of 8 hours praying to their God. We know who that is, right? Satan. And the church, we come in here on Sunday morning, we try to get up and sing, and most people just are, they're comfortable and they're okay with just sitting on their pew doing nothing. And I've often said so many times before, Laura, we come into the house of God for one purpose, and that's to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sadly, there's many, many, many churches around that they have all kind of different ideas and opinions as to why they assemble together. As you know, some are charlatans, Brother Eddie. They assemble, they try to build the flock and build the flock and build the flock so they can build the wallet. So some of them are about money. Others are borderline cultish, because if you don't look like they look and talk like they talk, you're not going to heaven. There's another group that says if you don't speak in tongues, you're not going to heaven. Well, that's not what my Bible said. My Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall what? That's what the Word of God says. But when we come into the house of God, Sister Wanda, we come in for one sole purpose. Number one, to exalt the name of Jesus. How do we do that? Somebody help me. How?
Through praise.
Why? What does the Bible say about that? He inhabits our praises. We want God to inhabit the place. I'm not trying to scold anybody this morning, but we're not doing a very good job of getting it done. If we really want him to inhabit the place, the Word of God tells us how to do that. The Word of God tells us how to bring the Shekinah glory into our midst. And all we got to do is look to the Old Testament and the New. But even in the Old Testament, Brother Eddie, they knew how to rock the place, so to speak. You know, they got down with some serious praise. In fact, they were so full of faith in the Old Testament. My Bible tells me when they went out for warfare, listen to me, they didn't send the strong men first. They sent the women with the tambourines. They sent the singers. They sent the dancers. And the people got pumped up when they heard the words about how glorious and powerful their God was. God knew what he was doing.
Right.
Jeff and I have been in this thing for a long time. We've been in so many different services, he's going to know what I'm talking about. But I have been in services where I have sang and sang and sang until every part of my clothing was sopping wet with sweat. My throat was sore from singing. My lips were turning purple. And there were still people sitting on their pew. But I've also been in those services where we sang and we sang and we sang. And it seemed like nobody was in their pew. Because they got it. They got it in here, Brother Eddie. They heard it in their ear, and they got it in here, and they realized what we were singing about and who we were singing about, and they forgot about their problems. They quit looking at the mountain, so to speak, and they looked at the one that formed the mountain. So I'm talking this morning with the help of the Lord about mountain warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 breaks it down pretty plain for us. In verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but this is what we do wrestle against: principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places." In high places. These principalities, these powers are represented in the Word of God by classes of different kinds of mountains. There is a man, or not a man, but an entity, devil, whatever you want to call it, mentioned in Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. I'll just read it for you real quick. "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek hath his name Apollyon." Did you notice what it said? He was the king over them. Over who? Well, we're getting ready to get into that. The very first place I want to go, speaking of these different mountains, is in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, 38. It says, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. This God of forces is what I just read to you from in Revelation. His name is known as Apollyon. The God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor, listen to this, with gold and silver. Remember those two words, gold and silver. How are these forces that we're talking about, these dark forces, and I say they're represented, how are they represented? We continue on in Daniel chapter 2, verses 32 through 35. Listen very carefully what Daniel says when he gives the interpretation of the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. This image's head was of, here it is, fine gold. Remember I told you, remember, gold and silver. And his breast and his arms of silver. His belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest until a stone was cut out without hands. This is speaking of Jesus Christ, of course, which smote the image upon his feet that were iron of clay and break them into pieces. And listen to this. Then were the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold, every one of them, broken into pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, and there was no place found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great, here it is, mountain, and filled the whole earth. All right, keeping that in mind now, these next verses I'm reading coincides with these different words of gold and silver and what have you. In Micah chapter 4, verse 1, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord, there's that word mountain again, shall be established in the tops of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. Zechariah 6:1 says it this way, and I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots. Listen to this. Four chariots out from between the two mountains. And these mountains were mountains of brass. Now, before I go any further, I just want to say, here in Micah and here in Zechariah, we are seeing the real, genuine article, the original forces of God. But Satan, he's got a counterfeit, don't you know, for everything. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, here's what God had to say about old Splitfoot. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Listen to these next two verses. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven and exalt my throne above the stars or angels of God, and I will sit up also upon the mountain of the congregation and in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Can I tell you this morning that the things that we go through, and I want to get back to this in a minute, but the things that we go through in our life, the strongholds, the spiritual fortresses, if you will, that seemingly stand in our way, Jesus gave us the answer to this. When his disciples said, Lord, why could we not cast out this demonic possessed person? Jesus likened that demonic unto a mountain. Why would he do that? Because in the spiritual heavenlies, there are spiritual mountains. When we read through the book of Daniel, and also in Revelation, St. John was looking backward, Daniel was looking forward, and he named all of these different colored mountains that represented these different kingdoms. As we know, Babylon was represented by the gold. Medo-Persia, the silver. Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire, brass. Okay, the Roman Empire, iron. These were all spiritual entities, if you will, for lack of a better way to put it, that were unleashed so that one kingdom would fall and another would take over. It didn't come by happenstance. The thing you got to understand is all of these counterfeits of the devil are at God's control. He not only controls his forces, but he controls old Splitfoot's forces as well. That's why you and I, as saints of God, are able to speak to the mountain and command it to be removed. But listen, you can't do that if you're walking in unbelief. I'm talking about mountain warfare. We're not seeing things the way we ought to see them. Jesus knew, he already knew what was there. His disciples had no clue, Brother Jeff, what really was going on. There's a thing known as symbolic action. And symbolic action is that action which, when offered to God in obedience, creates a transaction in the spiritual heavenlies, which then manifests itself here in the natural. Why? Because what goes on there affects what goes on here. And Jesus knew that, and he said, you'll be able to speak directly to the mountain. He wasn't talking about a pile of dirt, folks. You can speak to that mountain in your life and command it to go. And if you're not walking in unbelief, it has to obey your voice, no matter what it is. Now, we've said often, and Mom's did a lot of teaching on faith, and she's often said that when we start to stand, along comes the enemy, and he brings all of these different symptoms with him. It's the same way in other things in our life. He will make a circumstance or a situation seem virtually impossible. But what we got to understand is it's just another mountain that has to yield to our command because of who we are in God. See, God's people don't give themselves enough credit. When he told his disciples before he left, and Sister Robin, he said, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Anything that you bind here in the earth is going to be bound in heaven. What does that mean? That means immediately when you pray, when it comes out of your mouth, immediately those mountains in the heavenlies, God puts a hold on it. I want you to get a picture of this in your mind. There are mountains of gold. In the spiritual heavenlies, we can't see them. But there are mountains of gold, mountains of silver, mountains of brass, and so on and so forth. And you know what they are? Listen to this. They are nothing more than launching pads for those chariots of fire to be sent by old Splitfoot to mess your life up. But when we know how we're praying, when the doctor says, you got high blood pressure, and you say, no mountain, in the name of Jesus, you have to go. See, that is symbolic action. We speak. And then Brother Jeff, then God gets involved. Then Yeshua walks up and to that chariot and says, stop, go no further. And they have to, they can't stand it. They're pulling their hair out, but they have to do what he says. I'm going to get to that here in a little bit. Talking about mountain warfare. It's easier for God's people to go find them a corner somewhere. Like, you remember them little dolls they came out with? They called them the pouting child or whatever it was. And they put them, you go to somebody's house for a while, it was everywhere. You go to somebody's house and there it was in a corner. Looked like it was in a corner crying. That's what God's people would rather do. And this is sad, but it's true. A lot of God's people like sympathy. Ouch. They like it when you come along and pat them, oh, woe is you. You poor thing. We've got authority. We have authority to speak. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? We have authority to speak to the mountain in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to go. And there's no room for unbelief because he's already given us the promise. God's promises are what? Don't get any better than that. Like I like to say, it's better than $1 million in the bank. Just one of God's promises. Because you know it's going to happen. God cannot lie. Ezekiel 26:15-16. Thus saith the Lord, and he's speaking again to Satan here, but he's using the word Tyrus, none of this can be compared to a natural man. Thus saith the Lord God to Tyrus, shall not the isle shake at the sound of thy fall? When the wounded cry, when the slaughtered is made in the midst of thee, when all the princes of the sea shall, listen to this, come down from their thrones and lay away their robes and put off their broidered garments. Why is that? Because a third of them followed old Splitfoot. That's why they're going to mourn. They're banking on him being right, Brother Jeff. They shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground and shall tremble at every moment and be astonished at thee. And then in Ezekiel 28, he says this, son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus says the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Listen to this. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. There's that word mountain again. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. by the multitude of thy iniquities and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Daniel 7:9 says it this way. He said, I beheld until the, here it is again, thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Colossians 1:16 says this, for by him, by Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, both visible and invisible. Listen, he breaks it down here. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. Listen to this. And for him. What does that mean? That means they have to answer to him. But they don't have to answer to him if you're walking in unbelief, if I'm walking in unbelief, if we don't know who we are. We can't be double-minded. As you know, Peter jumped out of the boat. And the Bible said he began to walk on the water, but then he got double-minded and he started looking at the waves instead of the one who made the waves, instead of the one who controls the waves. Ask yourself this question. Am I busy looking at the waves in my life? Am I busy looking at this mountain in my life and letting that mountain intimidate me? I believe it's time for some mountain warfare. I believe it's time for God's people to raise up. Praise God. Now listen, the book of Enoch was in our scripture canons all the way through the 3rd century. It was staunchly in the scripture canons through the 2nd century. A lot of it started fizzling out through the 3rd, and by the 4th century, it was gone. And let me tell you why it was gone. 2 reasons. Number one, it was the Jewish people that did it. It was called church politics. How many's ever had to deal with that before? But the Jews jerked that book out, and they were going to take Daniel out, and they were going to take Revelation out, but they took Enoch out. And the 2 reasons was, number one, too many scripture references in the book of Enoch to Jesus Christ. As you know, the Jews don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. And number two, they had a problem with the angel thing. You know, the angel came down and cohabited with the daughters of men, and now that was born the giants. So they had a big problem with that. And that's the way it is with the Catholic Church today. You know, they have a priest up here who speaks in Latin. You don't understand a word he's saying. He's saying, you don't need to bring your Bible. Just listen to me. Red flag. And by the way, call me father. Red flag. Call no man father. My Bible says call no man father but your heavenly father. But these organizations is nothing more than political. They are serving their own interests, just like those Pharisees in Jesus' day. And not only Jesus, but his disciples after he went to heaven. And they called Peter and those before him and said, hey, you know, we can't deny that what you're saying is true and that you've worked these miracles and these people have been healed, but we don't want you preaching Jesus on our streets anymore. Why? Because they love the praises of the people. How many's ever been in churches like that? We worked with a pastor years ago, and the Holy Ghost would start moving. We'd get up saying, Holy Ghost, start moving, people are getting in. And this pastor got afraid that he wasn't going to get to preach, so he got up and he put the brakes on everything. That's what I'm talking about. This is what I want you to get. And he says, Enoch, this is his words. He says, I was carried away. This goes with what we've been talking about. I was carried off in a whirlwind, and they had borne me towards the west, and there my eyes saw all the secret things of heaven that shall be. And then he names them, a mountain of iron, a mountain of copper, a mountain of silver, and a mountain of gold, and a mountain of soft metal, and a mountain of lead. And Enoch said, and I asked the angel who went with me, and he said unto, I asked him, I said, what things are these which I have seen in secret? And he said unto me, all these things which thou hast seen shall serve the dominion of his anointed, Jesus Christ, that he may be potent and mighty on the earth. And then he says in verse 6 of Enoch, the mountain of iron, the mountain of copper, the mountain of silver, the mountain of gold, the mountain of soft metal, and the mountain of lead, all of these shall be in the presence of the elect one, Jesus Christ, as wax before the fire and like water that streams down from above upon those mountains. Listen to this. And they shall become powerless before his feet. I'm talking about dark forces led by a king that's over them by the name of Apollyon. But for those who know their God, for those who are walking by faith, for those who take God at his word, those mountains in the heavenlies, those principalities, those powers are subject to the authority of Jesus Christ. And that is the power that we wield. When they see me coming, those demons, Brother Jeff, they don't see Jimmy coming. They see a blood-covered saint of God coming. When those demons see some professing Christians coming, they don't see Jesus. They see a hypocrite is what they see. And they think, here we go. I'm talking about mountain warfare. Now is not the time for God's people to become complacent. COVID-19 was the first dress rehearsal we had. And guess what? Once again, the church failed the test. Miserably. There are churches today, and there's some in Xenia, Ohio, I could go to them, I could take you to their parking lot, that still do not have church services. This was a convenient excuse to sit home, relax, and hope some of the kin folks will start dropping in. What did the Bible say about that man who had those big barns? He said, I'll build bigger ones, so I've got plenty, and I'll sit back and say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Now's not the time for God's people to become complacent. Now's not the time when you come into the house of God to quit praising his name. When you're praising, when you're standing on your feet and you're praising, you're clapping your hands and you're not glorifying anybody on this platform. You're not doing that for Pastor Jimmy or any of these other musicians up here or singers. But when you stand to your feet, you're standing in the presence of Almighty God. When I sit on that piano, most of the time my eyes are closed. And there's a reason for that. I don't want to be hindered, Brother Eddie. I've often told you guys this before, and I'll say it again. When you're a minister of God and you're standing up here in front of people, some of the looks on people's faces, and the devil has a heyday with that. Pastor Jimmy, Brother Mike back there ain't liking a word you're saying. Or you see somebody nudge their significant other. There's old Splitfoot, Pastor Jimmy. They're cahooting together against you. My eyes are closed. Because when I'm in praise mode, Brother Jeff, I'm standing before the Ancient of Days. I'm standing before my King and I'm giving him all I can give him. I woke up this morning. This is to praise God, not to praise the devil. I woke up this morning with a real bad sore throat. First thing he said to me was, well, you better tell Crystal and Lizzie they're going to have to sing. You'll just go and play the piano. And I said, I ain't going to do it. I said, devil, if I lose my voice, there's plenty of other people around can help me out. But I'm going to keep screaming for Jesus. I'm not going to hold back. And then I said, devil, when I get through doing that, if the Holy Ghost leads this way, I'm going to get up and I'm going to preach. And how do you like that? Well, he didn't like that too much because I didn't hear anything more from him. And I thought, good, now I can really focus on this message. But sometimes when you're up here and you look at people, sometimes I look back at my daughter Lizzie, I think, boy, she's madder than a wet hen at you. And that ain't it at all. That ain't it at all. But that's what the devil will tell you. I look down at Rachel sometime, and old Splitfoot will say, you know, all she's thinking, she ain't listening to a word you're saying. All she's thinking about is Shawn Michaels. I'm getting in it thick now, bro. At least I got your attention. See, I like it when you're laughing because then I know, you know. But seriously, speak to the mountain.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week. Yes, love changed me. I'm not what I used to be.
the same.